What class, what category are you going to put God in? What are you going to say that can compete with who God is? He's the classless God. There's absolutely nobody like Him. The nations are as a drop of a bucket. That's like a drop of water running down the side of the bucket. Kind of like small dust to the balance when you ladies buy meat and the butcher lays a piece of meat up on you. Goes, oh, whoa, there's a piece of dust on there. You don't pay it any attention. And Isaiah says when you look at God, who He is that spans and engulfs eternity, the nations are as nothing in His sight. He said they're counted to Him less than nothing. Nothing is a zero that never had a rim to be kicked off of. And comparing God to the nation. Now they're going to need this. Because Babylon's going to have the iron grip around their neck. They're going to be the best slaves that they've ever had in their life. And how are they going to get free from that crowd? God said, I've got them under control. And in that day when old Nehemiah stood there and it looked like he had the bellyache and he was the king's cupbearer, the king asked him what his problem was. He prayed in his heart and God gave him that. He said, King, I want to go back and restore our land. We want to inhabit it and build the walls and all. Well, why didn't you say so, man? Get out of here. Hey, by the way, here's permission slip. Go by the king's forest and get all the timber you need and head out of here. Now, who could do that but God? God raises up kings and He sets them down. Our thoughts of God are too small. You get all tore up and worried about the political and about the society and about the world and all that's going on. Behind it all, God's on the throne. He's moving things around like the master chess player. He's already got checkmate before they ever even get to the board. Hallelujah. My. To whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness will you compare unto Him? He talks about the idol maker and how they make the silver and the gold and the statues and the saints and all of that and the trees and the images. And God said, don't make any graven images like unto Me, because there's no graven image that can compare unto who our God is. Have you not known? Have you not heard that it had been told from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundation of the earth? Is He that sitteth on the circle of the earth and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers? You know, Joshua and Caleb went into the Canaan land and they came back after the 10 spies. The 10 spies got there early because they had rabbit in their feet and they were scared to death. Moses said, how about it? They said, oh, good land, great land, but there's giants there. Here comes old Josh and Caleb. They're coming in later because they were loaded down with one bunch of grapes on a staff between them. And they were singing, Canaan land is just in sight. Man, their hands were sticky from eating sourwood honey. Their knees were green from rolling around in that grass. And boy, they had grape juice dripping off their chin. And they said, oh, is it a land flowing with milk and honey? What about giants? Giants? What about God? The giants are as grasshoppers. We're not grasshoppers, because we've got God. He's the great equalizer. Thank God we've got a God that's bigger than any giant, bigger than any mountain, bigger than anything that we'll ever face. So I believe I can wait upon this kind of God. So He talks about the Lord's person. But then I want you to look secondly. We learn of a problem. Verse 30. He says, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Two problems, fainting and falling. Why is there fainting and why is there falling with such a God? Well, they've got their eyes off the Lord and they quit waiting on God. There is a fainting problem, and fainting means to relax like you would relax a bow. A bow has to have a certain amount of pressure on it when it's strung, and it's a battle bow tuned in and ready for the fight, but when you take the string off of it, it faints or it just relaxes. And there's a lot of folk that used to be a battle bow. Man, they were ready to shoot the arrows of the gospel and be a witness and a testimony, but now they've just sort of laxed up and loosened up, and it takes a lot to get them stirred up to even get back in the battle. They're not ready for the fight right now. They're just sort of relaxed. Fainting means to go to a subconscious state. Preacher, you got folk fainted in this church. You got members haven't even been here. Sunday they'll show up. And you'll say at the door, sure did miss you this week. What do you mean miss me this week? We've been having a revival meeting. Brother Bain flew in here from North Carolina all the way. Oh, I thought that was next week. I forgot all about that, preacher. You know why? They're fainting. They're in a subconscious state. And when you're in a subconscious state, you don't care about anything going on around you. The neighbor's house can burn down. Somebody gets shot down the way. You don't care. All you care about is getting your sleep and getting your rest. And there's a lot of sleepiness going on in Zion. And it's high time that we wake out of our sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. There's fainting and then there's falling. Talks about falling. It means to go to a lower level. The ark is a beautiful picture of salvation. One door in the ark of salvation. But there were three levels. There was the upper, the middle, and the lower level. Now, I'm a farm boy and I can see what's going on. All the animals are gathered there. He's got the rhinos and the hippos and all those big critters down there in the bottom. He's got other smaller critters maybe in the second story with all the food that's there. And then up top where the wind is at, where you can get some fresh air and get water, that's where their living quarters were at. And there are three levels of living in the way of serving the Lord. I write unto you children because your sins are forgiven. I write unto you young men because you've overcome the wicked one. And I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known Him that is from the beginning. Just like you have maturity levels here, you got the little children, you got the young people, and then you've got the fathers that are here. Jesus talked about some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. The Bible tells us at the church at Ephesus about all the good things that they were doing. But then He said, I want you to repent and remember from whence thou art fallen. You've left your first love. There was a day when they had a loving, close-knit, communing relationship with the Lord, and now they have left that. Oh, they're gun barrel straight, but they're just as empty. It's become ritual. It's just become habit. It's just become have to. And the Lord said, I want you to get back to that first love. You know what the first love is, don't you? We finally got enough nerve to ask her, would you go out with me on Friday night? We're going over there to that meeting to hear Brother Andy preach. Well, yeah. When he gets to the door, you know what? She don't come to the door with that green mud all over her face and her hair up in lightning rods with her granny gown and beads all over her. No. She's been primping and preparing the whole time, waiting on him to get there, and he knocks on the door and Daddy comes to the door. She'll be here in a minute. She's making those last preparations. Come out, and boy, that first love, he opens that car door for her. She gets in, and boy, oh, let's go get something to eat. Where are we going to go? Oh, I don't care. Well, I'm going to take you to the steakhouse. Well, maybe I'll just get a hamburger. No, no, no. You're going to have a T-bone steak or a New York strip if you like that, and treat her so good. And boy, it's honey this and sweetheart that, and she thinks, man, if he does, I will, and they do, and they get married. First love. Some of you look at me like you don't know what that's all about. You better know what that's all about, amen? But then you get three kids and about 5 years later, it's Sunday morning. Honk, honk! Honk, woman, we're going to be late again! Oh, darling. Where's supper at, woman? Well, you know what today is. Oh, yeah, it's Friday. You don't know what today is? What's today? It's our anniversary. Oh, man, seems like we've been married forever. Well, I guess I can take you out. We'll get us a couple of burgers and go sit by the interstate and watch trucks go by or something, you know. And well, the honey's gone out of the honeymoon. You want to keep things going on. You keep the first love. And I know that as you mature and as you grow, I've been married over 40 years now, and I love my wife now more than I ever have. And it's a deeper love. It's a richer love. It's a blessed love. But God said, I want you to get back to that first love with me. That first love, man, is there anything I can do? Preacher, I'm here to serve. I want to be involved. But then things happen, and feelings get hurt and all that. And now they just sort of backed off. God said, you have fallen from that first love experience. You say, you can't get back to that. God said, you better get back to it. or else I'll remove thy candlestick out of his place. I'm going to move some things, and I'm going to chasten you if you don't get back to that. So we learn of a problem. But then look in verse 31 at the lifting promise. Amen. God said, here's what we need. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. I see the position that we are to take, they that wait upon the Lord. This week, the nucleus of this congregation have come, and night after night, you've set aside all that's going on. You'll mow your grass, or maybe you'll cut hay out of your yard next week. You have laid everything aside, and you said, I want to come and sit under the Word of God. And I pray that being waiting upon the Lord and asking Him to minister to your heart, that He'll do some work. And if you will be patient and look to Him and trust Him and seek His face, He will give you just what you need. That word wait means to tarry before. It means to expect. It means to look to with expectation. And we look to God with expectation. I'm expecting, Brother Bobby, to get a word back on the Lord's Day of some of these folk that have been invited and been visited, and the fruit will come later on. And you don't despair. You wait on God and you expect. And when people show up, don't say to the preacher, oh, preacher so-and-so's here, I can't believe it. No, you shake their hand and say, I've been looking for you, been expecting you. We don't want to be like that gang in the book of Acts. Simon Peter's in jail. They're going to kill him the next day. They're throwing a prayer meeting over at John Mark's mama's house. They're all praying, calling on God. And then suddenly there's a rap on the door. And they tell a little maid, Rhoda, you go to the door and see who that is. She says, who is it? It's Peter. It's Peter. Let me in. Couldn't be Peter. He's in jail. We're in here praying he'll get out of jail. Couldn't be. It's me, it's me. She runs back in, tells that crowd, Peter is standing at the door right now. And I laugh every time I read it. They said, they're right mad. Couldn't be. We're praying he'll get out of jail, and you're saying he's standing there. And sometimes God has to beat our door down to answer our prayer, and it just, just sort of flabbergasts us that he answered it. When you wait on God, you're expecting God to do some things. You're just looking for it. And there's a great expectation in waiting on God. And then look at the power. He said, they that wait upon the Lord shall. That auxiliary verb means that it's going to happen. Renew their strength. The Bible talks about renewing their strength like the eagle. Chickens go through it. Eagles go through it. A molting stage. And the old eagle gets his feathers tattered and his beaks covered in calcium, and his talons are dull now, and his eyesight is dim. So he goes back to the rock where he was born and he waits. And other eagles know what he's going through. They fly by and drop him pieces of chewed up meat. And that eagle eats and he waits and he waits, and those feathers grow again, and those talons, the old ones, fall off. He beats his beak against the rock and it begins to form again, and his eyesight comes back. And then there comes a day when he's renewed in his strength, and he spreads those wings out and he flies into the heavens, and he feels like a juvenile eagle again because he's renewed his strength. We go through molting stages as God's people, but thank God there's a promise of being renewed in Him. A renewal is a revival. The psalmist prayed, wilt thou not revive us again? God talked about the times of refreshing, and that's how He moves His church along. And if we wait on God, God will bring those times of refreshing to us in renewal. And then look at the power that he talks about in this progression. He says, they'll mount up with wings as eagles, they'll run and not be weary, and they'll walk and not faint. Had I been writing this, I'd wrote it backwards. I said, well, he'll renew his strength, and so he'll get up, and he'll start walking. And then he'll start running. And then he'll catch the wind and fly off the end of the runway and begin to soar high again. And about every verse you see of Isaiah 40 and 31, you'll see an eagle flying around. But I didn't write it. God wrote it. You see, there's a progression in strength that don't look like it, but there is. Flying strength. Man, that'll get you up there where you can see and get from one place to another. And it's such a blessing to see somebody get saved and then God take them from the death in sin to life in Christ Jesus. And boy, just change their life like that. And they're flying. Praise God. I've been lifted above the shadows. I'm redeemed now. Praise God. I'll get on the plane and I'll fly between here and Western North Carolina, but I can't stop off and preach anywhere. I can't do anything. I'm just getting from one place to the other. And sometimes God will transfer us and say, hey, I want you to move. I want you to do this. I want you to be... And though we get excited about that, we see things like we've never seen them before. But then He said, I want you to come down and start running. Running is getting busy. Boy, running is continuing on in speed and really active and really moving around and going to the glory of God. And there's a strength in that. But then He said, you're going to walk and not faint. I'll illustrate it like this. You Jews, get out of Babylon. Yoo-hoo! And they spin around, dance, celestially throw dirt in the air, and that's what the Hebrew word praise is. And men, they're having a time. We're out of here. We're flying. And then they start running. Oh, let's get some, cover some ground. And about 10 miles, their side's hurting, and boy, their lungs are burning. They say, whew, we got 500 miles to go. We better set in a good pace. And they start walking. Walk, 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 and finally they get there. I first got saved, man, I was flying. I'd never seen things like that. God called me to preach, and then I started running, and I've been running. And now here I am, 65 years old, and you know what? I'm walking. I'm walking. And I just step after step after step. Preacher, with this church and this work that God's given you here, you came in here, man, just flying. Boy, the brand thing new, and then you run, got busy, and now here you are in a stage where not only you're running and visiting and all that, but now walk on. And the thing this community is going to have to see is somebody that's stable, steadfast, and walking the same tomorrow as they are today. And the thing I've seen about missionaries going to different parts of the world is communities look at them with a cautious eye a lot of times because they want, will it last? Is this just a passing thing? And you'll wear out many a slandering tongue by faithfulness. And if you walk on and you stay faithful, a lot of times that's what it takes to really grip and get a hold of the hearts of people. Some of you got wives, maybe a husband, maybe children that wonder, yeah, they're over there at that old church, that won't last. Well, then it lasts, and it lasts, and it lasts, and it lasts. And here you are walking on with God and going on with God. And after a while, trouble hits their life, and God puts them under conviction, and you're going to be the one that they come to because you've been steadfast, unmovable, abounding in the work of the Lord. And it will make its big circle, but you've got to walk on just step by step by step. The Mississippi River, in the first parts, you can jump across the headwaters. And then later on, you can take a canoe and go down through some of the rapids. And boy, that's waters flying, waterfalls and all of that. But then, down toward the end, you look at the old Mississippi and it don't look like it's even moving. It's just walking real slow. But then here comes a big barge. And boy, it carries loads like it could never carry up at the headwaters. You never underestimate God's faithful saints that have been there and are walking on. A lot of times we preclude a judgment because they're not jumping pews and hollering hallelujah, but there's something wrong with them. Well, maybe that's not happening, but boy, there's a steadfastness and there's a strength and there's a grace as you wait upon God, and God will renew your strength. I've got in one of my notebooks testimony by A.J. Gordon, and he lists about 9 different famous missionaries that spent 7 years in their field before they ever saw the first convert or the first enduring work of God on that place. Most mission boards would have recalled them by that time, but they knew God sent them and they just kept walking on. And after a while, God moved. Souls were saved and things changed. You've just got to stay with it and keep your eyes upon Him and wait upon the Lord. And when God does it, it'll be eternal and it'll be right.
Amen.
All God's people said?
Amen.
All right, preacher, let's get us a song tonight. We'll sing and worship the Lord. Reach down there and get you a hymn book. And God spoke to your heart. You need to come and pray. You're welcome to do that. And I encourage this church, just mule over that verse in that chapter. We've got a mighty God, folk. And we don't faint. And we don't fall. And we don't forsake the Lord. But we stay by the stuff. And we stay in there with God. And expect Him to do great and mighty things for His glory. Amen. Let's stand all over the house.